Dharma inquired.
Dharma inquired.
Kachit.
Kachit.
Weather.
Weather.
Badre.
Badre.
Madam.
Madam.
Anamayam.
Anamayam.
Quite hale and hearty.
Quite hale and hearty.
Atmanaha.
Atmanaha.
Self.
Self.
Te.
Te.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Vichaya asi.
Vichaya asi.
Appear to be covered with the shadow of grief.
Appear to be covered with the shadow of grief.
Mlayata.
Mlayata.
Which darkens.
Which darkens. Ishat.
Ishat.
Slightly.
Mukhena. By the face.
Alakshaye.
Alakshaye.
You look.
You look.
Bhavatim.
Bhavatim.
Unto yourself.
Unto yourself.
Antaradim.
Antaradim.
Some disease within.
Some disease within.
Dure.
Dure.
Long distant.
Long distant.
Bandhum.
Bandhum.
Friend.
Friend.
Sochasi.
Sochasi.
Thinking of.
Thinking of.
Kanchana,
Kanchana,
someone.
Someone.
Amba,
Amba,
O Mother.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with a shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? Purport. The people of the world in this age of Kali are always full of anxieties. Everyone is diseased with some kind of ailment. From the very faces of the people of this age, one can find out the index of the mind. Everyone feels the absence of his relative who is away from home. The particular symptom of this age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. To earn a livelihood, the father lives at a place far away from the son, or the wife lives far away from the husband, and so on. There are sufferings from internal diseases, separation from those near and dear, and anxieties for maintaining the status quo. These are but some important factors which make the people of this age always unhappy. So it is a given principle that there will be suffering within this material world. And a wise person doesn't simply try to adjust the symptoms of the disease or avoid the symptoms of the disease, but rather tries to understand what is the cause of the disease. A doctor, if really a doctor, will try to not only relieve the symptoms, but cure the cause of the disease. Nowadays, people are satisfied often with symptomatic treatment. Just like even in medicine, people commonly take aspirins and other such items to remove headaches. But people may be suffering repeatedly from headaches, migraine headache, which may be temporarily relieved with some prescribed medicine. But unless we trace out the cause of the migraine headaches will not go away. So here in this verse today, we see what are some basic causes of suffering in the Kali Yuga. Specifically, when the family has to live apart, this is a cause of suffering. It is natural that one will feel attached to those who are near and dear, loved ones. And the arrangement of varnashram, especially in the grihastha ashram, is to give some comfort to all of the family members. The husband, the wife, the children, the parents, they all comfort each other. And if this comforting is done in the context of Krishna consciousness, then it is a welcome addition. It is not in itself maya. Of course, ultimately, we cannot find any comfort so long we are in this material body. Because the material body is composed of material elements which are only temporarily together. In the Buddhist faith, they give no importance to this material world, at least on the ultimate level, and amongst those who call themselves Hindus, the same is true. They see that this material world is temporary. However, both religious traditions say that there is some use to this material world. It is a means for doing, for practicing sadhana. So, we may say that family life is a deep, dark well, Andhukupam. Prahlad Maharaj says Andhukupam. It is a deep, dark well. And at the same time, it is an ashrama. It is a place for spiritual awakening. Because if a man and a woman are comforting each other and encouraging each other in spiritual life, then that type of family life is not in any way a dark well, but rather it becomes a means for liberation. But the principle has to be understood. Krishna has to be at the center of the family. Krishna has to be the purpose of the husband and wife being together, of the parents and children being together. If they simply forget Krishna and simply think that they can comfort each other without Krishna, then this is illusion. And this will surely end. Any type of pleasure or relief from suffering which has to do with adjusting material circumstances is not permanent. Just like it was very warm, so we were keeping our air conditioning on, and now suddenly it has become cold, and so we have to turn on the heating. So we can go back and forth from air conditioning to heating, but sooner or later there will be no way to keep this body warm or cool. In the beginning of, or at the beginning of the end, when one is getting ready to die, it is said that the body generally goes and becomes very feverish. And it goes up to the point of approximately 107 degrees Fahrenheit. And this type of fire is described in the Bhagavatam as the fire which consumes the body at the time of death, internal fire. So you can then put on an air conditioner, but it will have no benefit to you. And then when the death takes place, the body temperature drops completely. And then no amount of heat can warm it up. So externally we can change the circumstances which surround our condition. But if internally we are not properly adjusted, nothing will ultimately help. People are very external conscious, superficial. They're very superficially dealing with life. And they're not actually trying to see internally what is the internal adjustment of consciousness which can improve my condition under all circumstances. If one is actually fixed up within, then it doesn't matter what the circumstances may be without. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, because he was fixed up in Krishna consciousness, even living in a very hellish condition where his father was very brutal, and his father was actually attempting to kill him, still it did not affect Prahlad Maharaj. He remained peaceful, very, very focused and determined under all circumstances. So we have to recognize that our condition is also going to be changing. There's no way to avoid that, because the material world is constantly in flux. So if we think that we can achieve some type of equilibrium by adjusting the circumstances, that is our illusion. Rather, we have to remain fixed inside. If we want to be equipoised, then that equipoised condition can only be achieved if there is internal concentration, internal peacefulness. And that is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to focus one's mind constantly on remembrance of Krishna. Then, in such consciousness, any type of external circumstance will not cause disturbance. So, Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Means that Kalaya Dosha Nijay Rajan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. And on the other hand, there is one good benefit of the Kali Yuga. What is that? Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, all kinds of misfortunes can be counteracted. This is the fortune of Kali Yuga, that although in previous ages so much endeavor was required for self-realization, in this age, one simple activity, simply chanting the holy names of the Lord, can counteract all of the faults. And the faults are many. Here they are mentioned. One has always got some kind of diseases, all the time harassed. Family members are separated. Diseases are constantly attacking one. And there's always anxiety for maintaining the status quo. Therefore, it is said in the Kali Yuga, if a person can simply support his family, he considers himself most successful. An activity which every bird and beast performs without human intellect, a human being thinks themselves very successful if they can achieve such a status quo position. But just consider that this is a very, very difficult time we're living in. People live in constant anxiety whether or not they can balance their budget, whether they can put food on the table, whether they can get shelter over their heads, whether they can get clothing on their bodies. This in itself is considered a very serious problem in this age, but not in previous times. In previous ages, this was not a problem. It was given that everyone had these basic necessities of life. And therefore, the population could actually concentrate on their real business, self-realization. But now, people have no time for self-realization. Even we devotees have so little time for self-realization. If we can, you know, get a few hours in the morning for sadhana, we're fortunate. We consider ourselves very fortunate. We have to shove and push the schedule around, squeeze the schedule together, collapse it in such a way to make room for a few hours of sadhana bhakti. The real goal of life is to love Krishna, but we get so little opportunity for practicing to develop that love for Krishna. So, our success will be when we can increase our time for serving Krishna. That will be our fortune. That should be our prayer. Krishna, make me able to give more and more time. Now, if we diminish our bodily demands, we may have more time. The problem is that we are so much bodily conscious. We're so much in thinking in terms of the comforts, the necessities of this body, that practically we have to give all of our time to maintaining this body. But if we minimize and simplify our eating and sleeping, it's like when you go to sleep at night, whether you're sleeping in $1 million house or whether you're sleeping in $100 a month rented house, once you fall asleep, it makes no difference. I don't think that it's guaranteed that the person who sleeps in $1 million house has better dreams. In fact, they may have more nightmares. So this concern for shelter or concern for food, again, you can have $1 million in your bank account or you can have $100 in your bank account, but when you sit down to the table, does it mean you can eat more or less? Now you may say, well, my japati has, you know, less, whatever they, you know, cut the chapati flour with. My chapati flour is more wholesome, or my dal has less stones in it. You know, and that's the value of why I'm a millionaire, so that I can eat a better chapati. But 3, 4, 5 chapatis is all you can eat. That's all you can eat. A bowl of dal, a couple of sabjis, some chapatis, and that's it. Whether you're a millionaire or a pauper, basically, you can't eat more or less. So when we analyze all of this business, you know, just like we may have a very good car, and people take pride in their good cars. People have, want a good car. But Prabhupada said, what is this civilization that we are living in? That people are driving in their good cars and looking at each other. Well, I have a better car than the person who's next to me. Prabhupada said, but that is like two dogs who are running on the road, and one dog is running a little faster. In other words, the consciousness of the owner of the car, if that is their consciousness, that I have a better car than the fellow next to me, is not much better than the two dogs who are running together competing with each other. Whenever, you know, we would walk with Prabhupada in the morning and some dog would bark from the house, you know, in the neighborhood, and Prabhupada would say, you know, this business of ownership, the dog thinks this is my house, stay away. This is even in the animal kingdom. This is not the sign of human life. A human being knows, really, Ardian means one who knows the purpose of life. And what is that purpose? The purpose of life is to love God. That's the purpose of life. To devote oneself to the service of the Lord. And one can only do that if one can diminish, reduce the conditions which cause me to be bodily conscious. The more we reduce eating, the more we reduce sleeping, the more we reduce mating, the more we reduce defending, the more we are human. And human life is meant for self-realization. Atartha Brahma Jignasa. So what is Dharma? Dharma means those principles of religion, Sanatan Dharma, which lead to my eternal relationship with God. Eternal relationship with God. That is Dharma. And those things which simply increase my bodily conception of life, that is not Sanatan Dharma. That may be Dharma, but not Sanatan Dharma. There are so many man-made dharmas, so many man-made duties, occupations, religious activities, which simply extend material existence. But Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam saranam braja. You have to give those up. You have to give up all of those temporary dharmas and replace them with this one dharma, pure devotional service. Now, in the meantime, we don't say that these dharmas are useless. Just like I said, grihastha dharma is not useless. Sannyas dharma is not useless. It guides my bhakti. But if I become simply absorbed in it without understanding what it is meant to guide within it, that is a mistake. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a brahmin, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a sudra. I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the master of the gopis. That is my identity. Not sannyasi, not brahmin, not this, not that. My true identity is as an eternal servant of Krishna. And this is bhakti yoga. This is the science that we are learning. This is the reason for which we see the deity and worship the deity, for which we chant the holy names of the Lord, for which we study Srimad Bhagavatam. All of these activities are part of Sanatana Dharma, eternal duties, eternal activities, because they are part of our eternal relationship with Krishna. We have to learn to distinguish those things which are Gona Bhakti, secondary, and which are Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti means pure Shuddha Bhakti. And Gona Bhakti means those things which support Shuddha Bhakti. So the supportive activities are useful, but they're not in themselves the goal. The goal is Uttama Bhakti. The goal is those activities which are in themselves eternal activities. So we should not become so absorbed in Gona Bhakti that we lose sight of Shuddha Bhakti. Just like having a profession is Gona Bhakti. If everything you do with that money is utilized for giving you facility for serving Krishna. But if all you do is facilitate, but never do the actual service to Krishna, then it's a waste of time. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Shramayabhi Kevalam. This type of activity becomes a waste of time. If 23 and a half hours a day I'm facilitating, and 30 minutes a day I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing for the actual facilities are meant for, there's something very wrong with that balance. So more and more we have to maximize, by some means or other, those things which are the essence for which we are striving. And the facilities should only be supportive, not that they become everything. In the Kali Yuga, they become everything. In the Sati Yuga, they were nothing. In the Sati Yuga, people lived in the forest. They ate fruits. They lived simply. They just lived in such a simple way so that they would not have to disturb themselves from their meditation on God. But in the Kali Yuga, to meditate on God becomes the disturbance. I have no time. We go out chanting and say, stop disturbing the peace. You're disturbing my meal. We go down to the West End and chant, and people say, stop scaring the horses. I'm on vacation. I want to see the town. You're spooking the horses. Because people don't know. People don't have the slightest idea. It is so sad to see what is absorbing people's minds. And people are becoming more and more degraded. Degradation is setting in very quickly in the Kali Yuga. People no longer have any shame. People have lost a sense of shame because human life is no longer something which is in any way responsible or respectable. There's very little distinction now between humans and animals. Human beings are misusing their intelligence, misusing their ability to talk. Now, people watch, you see in television shows, and the whole purpose of the television shows is simply sex life. They have come to a point where television is, so many shows are simply for that. These talk shows now where men and women get to, they get on and they simply talk about their sex life. Or they pick their sexual partners. You see, right on the television. Now they arrange two people who've never met each other and to have illicit sex together. And they actually have shows like that. And millions of people watch this because this is what's on everybody's mind. How to enjoy sex life. So, the situation will go from bad to worse. It will only increase like this. People are so absorbed in this age on the bodily platform. And we are trying to reverse that trend in Krishna consciousness. It is very difficult, no doubt. We are preaching in a very godless age. And even those who call themselves religious have very little conception of what is God. You see, very, very little idea of what is God. So, we have to remain fixed in our sadhana. This will keep us strong. The morning program is designed very nicely by Prabhupada, previous acharyas. If we can go through this morning program, come to Mangalarti, and make it through the Bhagavatam class, at least we have, 3.5 hours to 4 hours of Krishna consciousness. And that will protect us from the influence of Kali. We'll stop here and ask if anyone has any questions. Okay. Yes. Good.
Schedule.
Yes. In fact, it's following the very instruction that Prabhupada gave. Prabhupada said that you should make your schedule. He said you should make your schedule in such a way that you can remember Krishna throughout the day. So he requested the devotees to make schedules for themselves. That's a very good idea. And in fact, then you'll have some way of measuring your progress. That's a very good idea. If you make a schedule and follow it, that will give you the strength to make a better schedule the following month or the following part of the year. It'll get better and better. Krishna will show you, give you good intelligence, how to increase the time for serving Him. God helps those who help themselves. I don't see any difference. Because you, the person who are doing the work and studies, are Krishna conscious. So everything you do in that consciousness, you interpret in Krishna consciousness. It's like two people see this television show and a man comes on, or let's say a man comes on and the show host is talking to the man. What kind of a girl would you like to be with tonight? And then they parade out four different girls, and each girl is behind a screen telling why she will be the best girl for this man. And everybody in the audience is thinking that I'd like this girl, I'd like this girl. But a devotee, if they happen to see this, will think this is the biggest illusion in the world. The Kali Yuga is fully in force now. So a devotee sees Krishna consciousness. A devotee interprets everything in Krishna consciousness. A devotee is Krishna conscious, therefore they cannot see anything in a normal way. It is just like a person who suffers from jaundice. No matter what they taste, it tastes bitter. So a devotee has a type of spectacles on, you know, which tints everything a certain color. So it doesn't matter what they're doing. That doesn't mean to say that when they go out and they murder someone, you know, that they say, well, aren't I in Maya? No, they don't murder someone. But I mean to say that as they do what is required of them, murdering someone is not required. It's against the principles of Krishna consciousness. But going out and supporting a family is part of the principle of Krishna consciousness. It's a responsible activity for someone who's married. But while a person is doing that, they're constantly understanding what they're doing and what aspect of their life and in what way this fits in with their spiritual life and within the picture of the world. They don't misinterpret everything. They interpret it properly. It's not that when you do your job, you know, you should block out everything and just keep trying to see the form of Shyamasundar. Yeah, whatever your work will be a failure then. But you should know that there's a connection. A person who's fixed up in Krishna consciousness doesn't shut off Krishna consciousness when they go to work or school. Or take care of their family, or clean the house, or mow the lawn, or drive their car, or whatever their activity, taking a shower. But when I take a shower, I don't see that there's any difference between my taking a shower and being in the temple room. In one sense, there's no difference. I have Prabhupada's tapes playing. I'm taking care of my body, which I'm going to use in Krishna's service. On the other hand, there is a difference also. I recognize that there's a difference, and yet there is no difference. I don't see that one is not Krishna conscious. Certainly the hearing is directly Krishna's conscious. It's shravanam. It's hearing of transcendental sound. Taking care of my body may not be directly, you know, Uttama Bhakti, but it's certainly an activity which is required within the context of Uttama Bhakti. If I don't take care of my body properly at this stage of my level of Krishna consciousness, I won't be able to be Krishna conscious. Someone who's very advanced may not take a shower for 1 month and that may not be affected. I couldn't be like that. How is Lord Jagannath doing? Well, he got a bunch of get well cards. One of the Guru Cool kids sent him a card, said, "Get well, you all." Who was that? Whose card was that? Get well, you all.
He's the all in all in the universe.
Where's Yogamaya? Is she here? Huh? I know. Is she here? Get well, you all. So he's feeling better from these cards, and he's been, he looks like he's just about over his cold. He's getting a little claustrophobic in this small room that he's in. I think he wants to get out. Yes, Rasika.
In last life, sometimes.
I don't understand.
My devotee said that he has to be broad-minded. He shouldn't see any distinction. He should keep away whatever knowledge he has or whatever.
So how is it that being married is going to prevent you from that?
There seems to be immediate concerns, like which is related to my own body, that this is my wife or this is going to be my home.
But you have to sleep somewhere, whether you're a brahmachari or grihastha. How much? That depends on that. That is dependent on your training as a brahmachari. If you're well trained, then you'll keep your grihastha needs simple. But if you're not well trained, then you'll expand your griha more and more and more. And the more you expand your griha, the more absorbed you have to be in maintaining it. But a wise person keeps their, you know, home very simple so that they don't become distracted. Just keep your grihastha life simple. Just like Imelda Marcos, she had 3,000 pairs of shoes. Now, you know, you don't need 3,000 pairs of shoes. So what are, you know, what is grihastha life? It means to grihastha life means to keep body and soul together. That's all. Do as much as is required to keep your body and soul together nicely. Prabhupada said, to get married means to work with double strength. So if it's done properly, if husband and wife cooperate together, you know, two is better than one. They'll get twice as much accomplished if they work cooperatively. I don't see that our grihastas here are in Maya. I don't find that personal. I think they're very doing nicely. They cooperate nicely together to serve Krishna. And I'm not convinced that if they were living on their own without being married, they would do. I think they'd be worse off, most of them. In fact, all of them. I don't see that any of them would have been better off not married. Prabhupada did not discourage people from getting married. Lord Chaitanya certainly did not. He was married. Advaitacharya was married. Srivast Thakur was married. Nityananda Prabhu was married. So many of his associates were married. I didn't see that was a hindrance in their spiritual life. That's not our philosophy. It all depends on the consciousness you're in. Otherwise, a man doesn't get married, they think about sex life. Women will think about sex life. As soon as they're married, they become more peaceful. There were some interesting figures published in Newsweek. They showed it was an issue about adultery. And it was clear that there were adulterous relationships were more in their when the people were in their ages of 20 and again 40. But in the ages of 30, they dropped down. Why? Because that's when they had children. So once they're children, then the adulterous relationship is less likely to take place. But once the children are growing up, then again they start thinking. If they don't have Krishna consciousness. Of course, these figures are people who are not Krishna conscious. A person who's God conscious is not going to have an adulterous relationship at any age, generally. Not generally. That's when you're thinking of God, you don't need to have an adulterous relationship. So all of these things are just, you know, when we see anything in the material world, it confirms what we're understanding about spiritual life. That's why I say, you can be at a job, you can be at school, you can be anywhere, but it just confirms again and again things which we're studying theoretically. Question, Dan?
When we go out into the world and Maya seems to be attacking us and we try to develop our Krishna consciousness and have trust in Krishna, there's counsel that we should be patient in the process. And also that we should be enthusiastic. To what extent can patience hold us back? To what extent should we be enthusiastic in our patience?
The extent that you have to be Krishna conscious. I mean, you're asking me how to be Krishna conscious. You're asking. What is the experience of... In other words, you know, it's like you ask a driver of a car, how fast should I accelerate? Now, as you become a more experienced driver, you know how fast to accelerate. You know that you know how to accelerate the car so that you don't jerk the people forward. You know how to accelerate the car so that you don't mess up the... Whatever it is that gets messed up. What is it? The... Transmission doesn't get messed up. Now, I mean, okay. So the answer is: how fast should I accelerate so that nobody gets jerked in their seat, so that the transmission doesn't get messed up, so that you don't break the speed limit, so that you don't get into an accident? Right. That still really doesn't tell you exactly, but it tells you some things to watch. So how much should I be patient? How much should I be enthusiastic? Just enough. Just enough, that's the answer. Don't be so patient that you miss the boat. And don't be so enthusiastic that you land up in the water and miss the boat. So enthusiastic to get on the boat, I forget to wait for it to come into port, and I step off the pier and I jump in the water. Don't be that enthusiastic. And don't be so patient that, you know, well, the boat's here, and then the boat takes off, and you say, oh, well... I mean, so all we can do, since the question is so general, all we can do is give a very general answer. All I can say is that as you become more Krishna conscious, you'll know how to balance enthusiasm and patience. You're right. I mean, it's not that the question is... the issue is very good. What you're bringing out is very good, but there's no such answer to your question, because the question is a general question. You're stating a fact that one should not be so enthusiastic... You know, you should not be so enthusiastic or so patient that you miss the boat. I mean, that's the principle. But each circumstance is going to be different, each situation. So the only solution to know how to, you know, do this successfully is to be Krishna conscious. The more you're Krishna conscious, the more you'll know how to accelerate the car at the proper speed. An inexperienced driver, you know, you get that all the time, right? You get in the car and it just... You see, they just jerk the car all the time. That's why Prabhupada always used to say, the sign of a good driver is, you know, that it's smooth. Everything's smooth. I used to tell, you know, I've heard that they, really good chauffeurs, they train them up by putting a, you know, a martini glass or something on the dashboard. Full. They say, now drive. But don't spill it at all. Matajis? Nandini? Well, he's, the man has a name. That's true. I listen to a tape every day. I hear Prabhupada lecture every day just because I use that time. I figure that the most mechanical activities you can ever perform are in the bathroom. We've been doing whatever we do in there for as many years as we've been alive. Nobody has to think about brushing teeth, although the dentist would like you to. You know, especially the dentist that I go to, they make a big deal out of, you know, how you're supposed to brush each tooth. But, you know, passing stool or urine, you know, scrubbing your body down, these things, shaving, these things just are so mechanical that it's a perfect opportunity to hear. Perfect opportunity to hear. You have to find ways to just hear. Just like if you do any exercising, that's another good opportunity. If you're walking, just play a tape. I mean, I don't have, because of my class schedule, I can't come to class every day, but I don't miss a Bhagavatam class. Every morning I hear Prabhupada give a Bhagavatam class. I want to come here, but it's just impossible because of my schedule for school. But I can't imagine. I think about this all the time. I must think about it at least 3 or 4 times a week. I think that probably the thing which is keeping me most fixed up in Krishna consciousness is this constant association daily I have with Prabhupada, listening to his tapes. Every day. Every day. So yeah, you can do that. You can listen. If you're in a car, what are you going to do while you're driving? Listen to a lecture. Again, driving is the most mechanical activity. It takes so little. I mean, really, it doesn't take much to drive. So, you know, most people spend a half hour or an hour in a car every day. Do you realize how much time that is? You could be hearing class for an hour. Whew, that's a lot of philosophy. I don't know about chanting japa while you're driving. Some people do it. I hardly can drive, so that's the reason I couldn't imagine doing that. But, you know, maybe it's possible. If you're a good enough driver, I suppose. Huh, Dan John? Is it the same as for driving? Huh, Jivana? Is it the same chanting japa while you're driving?
It's not the same. It can be done, but it's not.
You know, it's not the same quality as sitting down and chanting. And as far as chanting japa goes, I think you should all acknowledge that chanting japa in the temple room is definitely better than chanting in your home. Definitely better. Jivananda testified to that. You get more rounds done here, right? You always tell me that every morning.
More rounds, more quality.
Quality of rounds. How can you reproduce this atmosphere in your home? Can you, do you have an original B.G. Sharma paintings in your home? Do you have, you know, real life devotees walking around chanting in your ears? I mean, what do you have? Do you have a deity of Prabhupada like this? You can't reproduce this atmosphere in your home. That's why we put so much effort into building this. I remember one time I went out at Krishna Balaram Temple. I was serving Prabhupada, and I went out to into Raman Reti. There's this nice little place. Actually, we bought that place to Mayapur. What is that? ISKCON Foundation, I think, purchased this property. It's a beautiful little property to make it into a park. I used to go there chant my japa. One day, Prabhupada wanted me, and I wasn't around. When I came back, Prabhupada yelled at me. And I said, I went out there to chant japa, and Prabhupada said, I spent so much money and time to build this temple, and you have to go somewhere else to chant? That's not in the Leela books. That would be a good one, though. And that's he was, you know, that's the same point. We spent so much effort to build this temple, and people sit in their rooms and chant japa, and I think they just, you know, doze off half the time. I don't see how it could possibly be as good if you live nearby enough to do it. If you don't, okay, I understand that. If you live 30 minutes, 45 minutes away, obviously you can't come here just to chant japa. But for those who do, I mean, there are people who live on this block and chant their japa in their house. I can't understand that. That was my
A devotee asked Prabhupada that question, and he asked you to answer. He said, just tell him, intelligence. And you said, household life is no impediment to free preaching. The devotee wanted to know, how can I decrease my household life and increase my preaching? And you immediately said, well, household life is not an impediment to preaching.
It's not an impediment. You can go out with your wife and preach. If you have kids, you know, you just have to adjust the schedule in such a way that it'll work. And even if your marriage is a problem, even if your family life is problematic, that's also beneficial. Because then it makes you completely detached from material existence. In any case, a devotee sees every situation as favorable. Even the most unfavorable circumstance at the worst will at least make you detached from the idea of enjoying material life. The worst thing is where your taste for material pleasure increases. That's bad. If that's going on, that's not very good. But if you're losing your interest in trying to enjoy material existence, then that's favorable. Then household life is favorable. That's what it's supposed to accomplish. It's so much trouble to raise children. It's a big problem. And when you finally finish raising them, they kiss you goodbye and leave anyway. Sometimes they don't even kiss you goodbye. They just leave. So after 10, 15, 20 years of toiling to raise them, that's it. Bye-bye, Mom. See you next year. Now, anybody who could remain attached after that, you know, is a very determined person. Materially determined, very materially determined. So this is Krishna's arrangement. On the other hand, someone thinks, I'm not going to get married. Look at what a waste of time it is. And all the time they just think about ladies, or if it's a girl, they just think about boys all the time. Then they just remain more and more attached to the opposite sex. That's that story, you know, the two Brahmins. One Brahmin helped to carry. The woman was needed to get across the river. She couldn't get across the river. The Brahmin picked her up and carried her across the river. And the other Brahmin was shocked. And for the next 3 hours, the other Brahmin kept saying, you know, I can't believe it, you know. You touched that low-class woman. You picked her up. You did this. And finally, the other Brahmin said, tolerated for 3 hours. And he said, look, you know, I picked her up and I let her down. It was the end of it, but you've been carrying her for the last 3 hours in your mind. Thinking on the objects of senses, that's the advantage of engaging, you know, if you engage the object of attachment in Krishna's service, you become detached from it. But if you never get an opportunity to engage it, then you just keep it focused in your mind. That's not very good. All right. Oh, two more questions.
Just relating to this comment and Kartikeya's question about working outside. increase Krishna conscious knowledge or Krishna conscious activities into
yes, that's
whatever
true.
Activity we're doing.
So true.
We can always like give books to our co-workers or slowly talk about Krishna consciousness.
Even if you're a good worker, that preaches also. If you're outstanding, whatever you do, that speaks more than anything. Whatever we do, we are representing Krishna. So if we're good at it, people will gradually appreciate Krishna. Yes, Rupanam.
I was thinking about the father of King Vena, who contemplated how unfortunate I am to have such a bad son. And then he thought, well, maybe this is the best situation.
Hmm.
Because if I had a good son, I would be very much attached to him. I would be worried with him.
Still, I don't think any parents pray to have bad children like Vena.
We don't have to.
You don't have to because you don't have children like King Vena. That's what you meant, right? I hope that's what you meant. No, we want good children. The children will generally be pretty good. It's just children are children, so you can't expect them. We forget all the things that we went through before surrendering to Krishna. I think that devotee children do remember what they learn in Krishna consciousness, and at the right time it will come out and guide them. They don't forget. All right, time to end the class. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.